Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Were those not two of the clearest cut cases of teams gagging away games that they desperately needed to win and absolutely should have won? Like, if that's not gagging, then I don't know what gagging is anymore. It's got to be especially devastating for smoked Ham's Lakers. You can't say that I did not warn you, Ham. I warned you that you were going to find that smoke that you were asking for and you were looking for, and now smoked Ham, that is 10 in a row. That's 10 for you. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, not nine, 10. 10 straight L's against the Nuggets.
And when I say that, I really believe it.
You just lost your 10th in a row to the Nuggets and did so by blowing a 20-point lead. That's a rough look, smoked Ham. That's bad enough to have Car Flag Nation sprinting to the garages to hide their car flags and rip off their purple and gold bumper stickers and remove their Laker license plate covers. 10th loss to Denver in a row. And even on a night where the Lakers had it all working. And Denver seemed to have no interest in that game whatsoever. Even on a night with LaCap bawling out, even with D'Lo going off, this dude knocked in seven threes. So LaCap's going off, D'Lo's going off, and for most of the game, AD was even better than both of them and couldn't even miss a shot. Literally couldn't miss. Yo, AD, what's good?
AD, what's good, baby?
AD, I'll tell you what's good. You were good. AD was what's good. Until he wasn't. Until he disappeared late. But for the first three quarters, AD was in fact the best player on the floor. AD, I can't believe I'm going to say this. For the first three quarters, AD was actually the face of the franchise. Again, for three quarters. But then that same face of the franchise buried itself in the sand and did a complete disappearing act down the stretch. While the rest of the Lakers, not named LaCap, also did the same thing down the stretch. The Lake Show had it all going. Denver could not have looked more disinterested for most of the game. But in a way, it's like they knew. They knew they could just get around to beating these dudes later on. Why waste the energy right now? Like Jamal Murray. He'd be the first to tell you. He couldn't throw it in the ocean for most of the game. Then somehow, some way, after being down 20, in the second half, Denver finds themselves with the ball and the last shot in a tie game, and Jamal does this.
Nuggets, 12 seconds remaining. They're not going to call timeout. Nine seconds remaining. Murray's got to go. Murray lets it fly. Yeah! Oh, my God!
So, far from Jamal's best night, but it had the best possible ending. And he did play well late. He played really well late, not just that shot. But the best possible ending and the worst possible ending to what was basically the best possible Laker night for much of the night. I mean, what a mic drop moment for Jamal Murray. Actually, and this is where things get interesting, actually the first of a few mic drop moments last night. Because for some reason, the butthurt Lakers kept dropping mics and storming off the stage in the postgame, handling that loss about as badly as you'd expect. Yo, Lakers, the hell happened. Yo, AD, the hell happened. Maybe you can help us out here. Yo, AD, first off, what's good, AD?
AD, what's good, baby?
What's good, baby?
AD, what's good?
My second question, the hell happened to all of you at the end of the game, big dude?
Can you take us through that last play and just what happened and what unfolded? What was I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Great look, AD. Thanks for the insight, AD. Thanks for the high basketball IQ, AD. Thanks for clearing that up and then storming off the podium and throwing a butthurt temper tantrum. Real face of the franchise kind of stuff, AD. This was supposed to be your big moment too, AD. Yo, AD, what's good? Let me ask you something.
What's good, baby?
What bothered you more? The choke job, Jokic dominating you when it mattered most, or that defensive player of the year snub that you also were so butthurt about? Wait, don't say anything. You don't even need to get up and stomp off. I already know the answer. The answer is yes. But why do I think this dude was at his best for most of that game? Not because they had to have it, not because he's the face of the franchise, but rather because he was all bent about the defensive player of the year snub. I mean, you would think that losing 9 in a row to Denver would be motivation enough. But AD had to dig even deeper. He had to go all the way to the quote, "The league doesn't like me," end of quote. He actually uttered that phrase to ESPN when he found out he was not a finalist for the DPOY. Quote, "The league doesn't like me." He said that. The league doesn't like him. Never mind that the league doesn't even vote for that award. Journos and broadcasters do. "The league doesn't like me" is so lame and so hilarious. And so childish. "The league doesn't like me." Yeah, well, the league doesn't vote on the award, AD. "But the league doesn't like me." Hey, if it'll make you feel better, AD, these dudes love you.
AD, what's good, baby?
You know who doesn't like you? The journos and the broadcasters who didn't include you. The league has got nothing to do with it. Hey, believe me, the league likes you. That's why they let you go to L.A. You would think that losing 9 in a row would be motivation enough, but no. No. Anyway, whatever works is fuel, right, AD? Because you came out on fire. 14 of 15 from the field, running on the cleanest burning rocket fuel ever. Look like you're going to run them right out of the gym. Until you ran out of gas yourself, which is why I think there's a little more to this epic collapse than Jamal Murray made a shot.
Jamal
what
Murray
happened?
Made a shot.
Oh, is that it? Is that it? Jamal Murray made a shot? Like we're all so stupid. How do we not know? What happened? Jamal Murray made a shot?
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Yeah, but what about the rest of that 20-point lead, AD? Yes, he did. He did make a shot. I'll give you that. I'll give you something else. You didn't make a shot in the entire fourth quarter. AD did not score after the 7:15 mark of the third quarter, yet he's the one stomping off and owning nothing. Pretty tough on the Lake Show to close out the defending champs, who have beaten them 9 times in a row without any help at all in crunch time from AD. But yeah, I can't deny it. Jamal Murray did make a shot.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Wow, bro. You have any idea how bad a look that is? How bad an act that is? Especially from an alleged face of the franchise. Incredibly enough, though, AD's post-game case of butthurt and storm off wasn't even the most cringe post-game case of butthurt and storm off of the night. LeBag somehow actually managed to top it. Well, we all know how. He LeBagged it all up. LeBag went vintage LeBag and somehow found a way to make that hideous gag job about the replay center.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the fuck do we have a replay center if it's going to go It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. I'm sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome.
Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
What are we doing here? Blaming a 20-point gag job on the replay center. What are we doing here? You see, this is why the GOAT, allegedly, has been glossed LeBag. The guy was so amazing last night. He really was. He was outrageously good last night. The last thing I want to do is crush this dude after that performance last night. For real. I'm not even messing around. This old man is still absolutely incredible. I just don't know what's more unbelievable at this point. His level of play on the floor or his level of utter baggery off of it.
What are we doing?
Right. The replay center gagged away that 20-point lead. It was totally the replay center's fault. The replay center blew that gigantic lead. Just like the replay center also has that 10-game losing streak to the Nuggets. It's the replay center that has lost 10 in a row to Denver. Somebody call Sekakis. Tell them it's their fault the Lakers blew that game last night and can't beat the Nuggets. Somebody let those nerds who are locked up in that dark, windowless room in the New Jersey swamp know that they're the ones that cost LeBag and AD and D'Lo and the Ham and the Car Flag Nation a huge game.
What are we doing?
Man, what a bad look. That goes for the entire Lake Show. But I'm not sure anybody looks worse right now than Smoked Ham. Smoked Ham had a day, right? First, there was a report before the game that he is expected to return next season. Although I'm not sure that I'm convinced of that. If they get run out of here 4 in a row, are you going to tell me, oh yeah, we're bringing him back? The genie bus doesn't want to pay him off. Then the Ham ran into a microphone pregame and casually admitted that he had no idea how to stop the Joker.
Taller than everybody, wingspan, skill set. It's like, I don't know what to do.
I mean, I know you think you're being funny, the Ham, but it's not funny. Yeah, we know you have no idea what to do. Because that's totally what it looked like to everybody watching, especially late in the game. Actually, the entire game, when that big dude went for a triple-double in 20-20. Of course you have no idea what to do about the Joker. And you have no answers in the fourth quarter when Michael Malone has been absolutely turning you inside out. I know, Ham. I can tell by watching. That's why you've been glossed Smoked Ham.
I don't know what to do.
We know. We know you don't know what to do. Wait a Lake Show, Lake Show. Smoked Ham doesn't know what to do. LeBag is blaming the replay center. AD is butthurt that, quote, the league doesn't like him. All the while, the Nuggets are just doing what they always do, playing with their food when it comes to playing with the Lakers, and then beating their ass. Oh, and yeah, Jamal Murray, he made a shot late,
Jamal
too.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Kind of hard to get behind LeBron's blame the replay center when he misses a wide-open three himself right before Jamal's game winner.
Defender falls, LeBron three. Rebound by Porter. Oh! With the timeout, we are tied.
I love it. Don't call it. Tie ball game, worst can happen. We go to overtime.
Murray makes a move.
Did the replay center miss that shot, LeBron, or did
Jamal
you?
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Replay center is not going to help LeBron get any more wide open than he was for that shot. And the replay center is not going to put a hand in Jamal's face. The replay center is not going to make adjustments to counter Denver's adjustments. Maybe the Lakers will use the replay center to figure out who should get the most blame a week from now when they're clearing out their lockers, because you know there's going to be some blame. The replay center can help them choose who to run under the bus, because you know that's coming too. Charles Barkley knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. One thing you can always count on with the Lakers, they're going to throw somebody under the bus when they lose. Going back to Russell Westbrook, going back to Frank Vogel, now I guess D'Angelo Russell. The Nuggets right now, they're just a better team than the Lakers.
Not right now. Well, yes, right now. But they have been. They have been. Which is what we were saying going into that series. Which is why I said they'll probably find a way to win five or push it to five games on pride alone. They are a better team than the Lakers. In terms of matchups, the Lakers don't. Still no answer for Jokic, and apparently no answer for the replay center. And no answer for the fact that the league doesn't like AD. What a line, man. Nice maturity. Nice face of the franchise vibe. The league doesn't like me. The Lakers are like the Nuggets when it comes to throwing somebody under the bus. Let me repeat that. The Lakers are like the Nuggets in terms of domination when it comes to throwing somebody under the bus. The bus is Deadeye when it comes to running over a scapegoat selected by Bron. Et al. LeBron James is the LeBron James of pointing the finger at other people when they lose. That bus is Jamal Murray. That bus that a Laker, probably the Ham, is going to find himself underneath. That bus is Jamal Murray with time expiring. Nothing but the bottom of the net. Like Chuck pointed out, Westbrook. Splash. Vogel, bang. Ham, D'Lo, replay center.
Let's just fly. Yeah!
Oh my God! Ha!
Replay center, you have to wear that forever. You have to wear that choke job forever, replay center. Blowing a 20-point lead, replay center. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Welcome back. So I'll get to the other game. Knicks and Philly, absolutely wild last night. Would have led with that for sure. Had the Laker-Nugget game knock on the way it went. Right now, I'm efforting Bo Nix. He is officially on the clock. We'll try and run that down as quickly as possible. Coming up next hour, Joe Varden joins us. Meantime, I'm still trying to get you to hammer the phones. Make it better. 1-800-636-8686. Eric in the Southside writes, Jim, was that audio of 80's mic drop or a body drop before considered a divorce? War Nug sweep.
Sweetheart, be reasonable. After all, we're married.
Did kind of sound like that.
Considered a divorce.
I'm really not sure what AD or why AD has any comment whatsoever on the DPOY voting in the midst of a playoff series like that. I have no idea why he's even commenting on that. Much less saying, man, the league doesn't like me. I mean, dude, you've been in this thing so long. You're the guy that LeBron tried to hand the torch to, the baton to. You're the guy who's supposed to lead the face of one of the most storied franchises in all of sport. And that's where you're handling that. Joined right now by an NFL draft prospect. He is a quarterback who has played the last two seasons for the Oregon Ducks. After starting his career with Auburn, he was the 2023 Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year. He was a first-team All-Pac-12 selection. He finished third in last year's Heisman Trophy voting, set all sorts of Oregon records. He appears courtesy of new Old Spice Total Body Deodorant. He is Bo Nix. Bo, good to have you on the program. Bo, what's up? How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me today.
It's good to have you, Bo. So, the draft is now 2 days away. I'm curious, what is your mindset and how you feeling emotionally as you get ready to find out who's going to select you and where you're going to continue your career?
Yeah, I'm really excited. There's not much left that I can do. You know, the hay's kind of in the barn now, but they just have to make their decisions. And whatever happens, I'm going to be confident in it and, you know, believe that the Lord has me there for a reason.
Bo Nix joining us. You know, Bo, we've all been mock drafted to death. I'm curious, do you check out to see what other people are saying and what the speculation is, or do you make sure to see as little of that as possible?
I try to see as little as possible. There's, you know, many mock drafts every year, and, you know, it may get a few of them right, but nobody really knows until the draft gets going and everybody starts making their decisions because, you know, most people keep their information quiet and not – a lot of it gets out. So, you know, we obviously know a few guys that are going to go in spots, but there's no, you know, guarantees or for sure. So I don't think there's really a reason to look too much into it. And, you know, it'll just cause too much unadded, you know, pressure and anxiety that really you can't even control. And most of it's not even going to happen. So from that, you know, point of view, we go through it every year, you know. At Oregon, Coach Lanning would always show us the mock drafts and then, you know, show us what actually happened, and it's crazy the amount that's changed.
Bo Nix joining us. I agree with you 100%. Like, to your point, everybody is playing poker this time of year. Let me ask you this. Did you get any sense from any team that you're the one they want, that if you're still on the board, they're taking you?
Well, yeah, I got a great sense from every team that I met with. You know, we had great talk, and you know, they were very polite and very, you know, easygoing and easy to talk to. So I think they give off that impression to many guys that they talk to. I think they, you know, want to keep everything on the table and keep everything open.
Talking to Bo Nix. You know, Bo, I'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who's had the college experience that you had at Auburn and Oregon, in addition to a bunch of records that I could have mentioned that I didn't. But you set a bunch of records at Oregon. You also set the NCAA career mark for most starts by a quarterback with 61 in your career. Do you think then that you're the most pro-ready quarterback in this talented draft class?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily the most, because there's other guys that are that have achieved, you know, remarkable achievements. But I definitely think, you know, I'm, you know, as prepared or, you know, and you know, tied up with those guys. But I, you know, have prepared a lot, you know, have gone through a lot of college experiences, seen about as much football as you can before this level. So whatever team, you know, does draft me, you know, I feel, you know, definitely like I've been through a lot and going to be able to take that to the next level, and it's only going to help me.
So, Bo, you mentioned Dan Lanning. I love the guy. It's a big, big Dan Lanning house here. You and he went 22-5. You won a pair of bowl games in your two seasons at Eugene. What are your biggest takeaways from your time with him?
Well, yeah, he was incredible. He was a relentless coach when it came to preparation, and he was always trying to find the next big thing. He was always trying to find an edge up on our competition. So, you know, whether it was, you know, a team that we should beat by a lot or a team that's going to be a tough game, you know, we prepared about the same for every single one. He always had something for us to gain an edge that week. We always had a key, you know, either phrase or something that we were focusing on, you know, to keep us engaged throughout the season. And I always felt like we just never overlooked opponents. So he's an extreme competitor. You know, he's relentless when it comes to his work. And I truly believe he'll win a championship at Oregon before he's done.
Bo Nix joining us. You know, Bo, this is interesting. Much is made of the fact that you turned 24 in February, which means you're the same age as Zach Wilson, who's already played three NFL seasons and was traded yesterday. Some draft analysts have listed your age as, quote, a concern because they might prefer a younger prospect with a longer pro runway. Let me flip that. Why do you think that coming into the league in your mid-20s is a positive thing?
Well, I mean, you know, quite frankly, I played five seasons in college, you know, played 5 years of high school football. So, you know, I've played about as much football as you can to get ready for this next adventure. But, you know, age is a number and, you know, runways are up to guys who take care of their body. And, you know, I'm glad they didn't put an age limit on Tom Brady or we wouldn't have seen greatness. So, you know, that's for them to they can learn all they want. That's neither here nor there. But it's up to me and whatever franchise I go to make, you know, the most out of my career. And I'm excited about the opportunity. I think with my experience has come a lot of growth to where I've maybe further ahead than what most guys are, you know, going into the league at this point. But, yeah, I'm excited. I've seen a lot of experiences. And also, you know, I started playing football in seventh grade, so I gained some experience on the front end thanks to my dad. So I'm ready to roll with, you know, however long I'm able to play.
You are a coach's son, no doubt about that. And your dad was a great player as well. You've teamed up with new Old Spice Total Body Deodorant. What are the details? And what was the experience like of shooting an Old Spice commercial that also featured Mark Sanchez and Fred Warner?
Yeah, so the commercial experience was great. You know, it was fun to be around Fred and Mark as well as Jackson. You know, we had a great time on set, and it was really fun to present the Old Spice new Total Body Deodorant. You know, it delivers 24/7 freshness, and, you know, it's for total body, so it's for all overs from pits to toes. And, you know, I think the most important thing is, you know, 50% of guys worry about their body odor, you know, beyond their armpits. And especially in a locker room, you get guys that may be a little self-conscious about that. And, you know, Old Spice has given us a deodorant now that will you know, help with that. And so that's really important to note, and just really excited to partner with Old Spice. And I feel like it's a great opportunity, and just really fun getting this product out.
Obviously, appearing courtesy of Old Spice today and getting ready for the upcoming NFL draft, he set Oregon records throwing for over 4,500 yards as well as 45 TDs. He set an NCAA record for highest single-season completion percentage rate at over 77.5%. He is Bo Nix. Bo, it's great to visit with you. Good luck at the draft. I'd love to run you down after you find out where you're going to live and work.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate you, Bo. Thank you for your time. Bo Nix joining us. All right, so there's our number one almost. Let's get another bit of reaction in here. Drew in West L.A., quote, "If I'm Jeannie Buss, I'm lobbing a call to senior HR analyst Janet Rome to see if there are sufficient grounds to terminate Darvin Ham." Janet Rome would probably have a take. She did that job for a long time. The thing is, Jeannie doesn't need sufficient grounds. She can just do it. The thing about it, though, it'd be without cause. So she'd have to pay him off. And the thinking is, she doesn't want to pay him off. So what, you're going to let him coach two more years? I'm not looking to get anybody fired. But I agree with Charles Barkley. The one thing the Lakers are really good at is not winning championships anymore, but running people under the bus when they don't win championships or don't come close. Somebody's getting run under that bus if they get run the hell out of the first round again. And if that streak goes to 12, I still happen to think they're going to win a game. A game. I think that if they win or push it to six games. They got to fly that banner too. They're not winning the series. We know this. They're not winning this series, especially after last night, and somebody's going to pay the price. Somebody's getting run under the bus. But would she pay him off to go away? Up until now, Jeannie Buss is on record as saying, the ham is fine. We're going to bring the ham back. Yeah, but that was before they blew two double-digit leads, and the ham went into last night's game by admitting, yeah, I don't know how to stop Nicola. And then he became smoked ham. Yeah, I get it. Nobody can stop this guy, but maybe you don't want to say that right before the game. Stay tuned. So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code GYM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code GYM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. Look, I'm a SoCal guy. You know I'm going to lead with a SoCal take. Fact. I'm going to represent. But Knick fan, I'm still all about what happened last night. I did not forget about you. You know I love you. You crazy Knick fans. You also know I love a rabid, crazed night at MSG. I do. I love that energy. I love it. Even if it comes at the expense of Philly fan, who I also love. Yeah, I know, Rome, you love everybody. No, I don't. I love Philly fan. I love Knick fan. I love them because they're out of control. I just love how out of control crazy Knick fan gets. What's not to love about these fans foaming at the mouth?
Suck my d***, Trae Young! Suck my d***, Trae Young! Yo, Trae Young looks like my dad's d***! I never saw my dad's d***! He still looks like
I better not catch Trae and Dankman! I better not catch Trae and Dankman!
Now, yo, give me a shot at it!
Go, New York! Go, New York! Go!
You'll be back!
Is Trae Young valid?
No!
Trae Young, you motherfucker, I'm gonna fuck you up.
Could Trae Young come to your hood right now?
Hell no, I'll shoot that as bald as.
Wow, wow. What would you say to Trae Young right now?
Tell Trae Young, Trae
Young. Yeah, we outside.
Yeah.
Trae Young. Bow, 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 bow.
If Trae Young was here right now, I'd pull out his hair.
Trae Young's bald.
Wow. I mean, find me another fan like Knick fan. That is insane. And I want to say that last night's vibe nearly matched that. I don't know that anything will ever match that. I don't know that anything will ever match Knick fan's hatred of Trae Young. They're still chanting, Trae Young's bald. Trae Young's bald. I mean, Trae Young's got nothing to do with this series, and they're still chanting about him. So that was essentially the vibe at MSG last night. But despite crazy Knick fan doing crazy Knick fan things, which I love, and making the atmosphere incredible, the Knicks still had to pull that game out of the fire. Credit to the Sixers, I guess, for having the Knicks on the ropes. But no credit to the Sixers for the way they finished, because they didn't. And Philly fan, I don't want to hear from you either about the refs. Just like I don't want to hear LeBag blaming the replay center. I don't want to hear about the refs not bailing you out with a timeout.
What are we doing?
Philly, listen. The ref show did not blow a 5-point lead in the last 30 seconds. Actually, 14, if we're being real. Your team did. Your Sixers can protest all they want, but they're never getting that game back, and nor should they. Because they got that game snatched from them, it just wasn't from the refs. The refs did not rip that game from them. The Knicks did. The Sixers were supposed to be the ones doing the snatching. They were supposed to be snatching home court from the Knicks. They were supposed to be snatching Nick Souls. And that would have been enormous. It could have easily flipped this series. And the Sixers gagged that opportunity away, period. It was not the refs. It was that crazy wild sequence, which will go down as one of the best moments in Knicks playoff history. One of the worst moments in Sixers playoff history. It was incredible.
Brunson, sidestep, three-pointer, shot. It's good! Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocked loose. And Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
Wow, a double bang from Mike Breen. Bang! Big week already for bangs. A Mike Breen double bang. After we already had a Jim Lampley chitty chitty bang bang reset yesterday. Then that play. And that call was so epic. I don't know, Alvy. It's up to you. But is this in order? Is it warranted? We may need to hear a chitty chitty bang bang remix based on what happened last night.
The sound it makes. Listen.
What's better than the Chitty Chitty Double Bang remix? Now we have two. That's two for you, Albie. That's two for the jungle. Look, Philly fan, I know you're angry. Of course you're angry. Who could possibly sit through that sequence and not be furious? Except it's not the ref show's fault. And believe me, I'd be the first one to point it out if it were. Deep down, you all know that. It's just misplaced or displaced anger. You know just as well as my guy Nick Nurse knows, it was not on the refs. You're also mad at the ref show because deep down you all know you had that game and you let it get away. You're mad at the ref show because you needed that game and had that game. Deep down, you all thought that game was already over. Admit it, Philly fan. Admit that all of you were thinking exactly what was being said on the Sixers TV broadcast with 47 seconds left. I hate to air you out like this, NBC Sports Philly crew, but I have to because it's just too perfect. Philly, you know this is what you were all thinking in this moment, every last one of you.
You'd love to, but the goal is not having home court advantage to getting home court advantage by winning one of the two games on the road. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
Uh-oh. You'd love to get two, but the goal is winning one of the two on the road to get the home court. Job done? Let's head down to the turnpike.
Job done.
Job done. Job done.
Job done.
Not exactly. Not exactly unless the job was to take one of those two games that you want to steal on the road and gag it away in epic fashion. If that's the case, then yes, job done.
Job done.
If that's the case, then job extremely well done.
Now I'm done.
Good job. Good effort.
Good job. Good effort.
Job Philly, done. You should be thanking the Lake Show for the cover today, or you'd be getting all the heat. All of it. But here's where I won't get on the Sixers. I'm not going to jump Joel, for hanging his head in his locker after the game. I mean, no, it's not the ideal body language for the MVP. It's not the ideal body language for the face of the franchise. But if you listen to him, it's not like the dude was lacking for confidence. In fact, even after losing that gut-wrenching game, Joel was actually guaranteeing that they would still win the series.
We should be 2-0, so, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Well, see, that's why I don't have an issue with his body language. He just said, no, we're good. We're good. We're still going to win this series. We're the better team. We know what we have to fix, and we are going to fix it, and we are going to win. Man, that'd be a legendary call because he's busted up. If he could lead them back and win 4 or 5, that'd be something else. Now, I don't know that I buy that. I'm just saying. Hypothetically, that'd be great. My man's not right. But he's a warrior. He's out there. He's trying to play through it. He's not only trying to play through it. It's one thing to be in a lot of pain. You know, like searing pain.
Oh, searing pain.
It's one thing to be in pain and to will yourself out there and put yourself in the fight. But it's another to be in that kind of pain, will yourself out there, put yourself in that fight, and produce. And he is. He's not just out there trying. He's out there 34-10 and giving his team every chance possible to win. Now, you know, I got a pretty high threshold for the big fella's pain. I don't know that he can make it through 4 more games, much less win 4 more games. But I'm not going to count him out. And I love a good guarantee. I especially love a guarantee when you're busted up and you choke away a game and you're down 2 games to none.
We're going to win this series.
This is also the spot where I might allow a conspiracy theory. Let me just say this. I don't think that Joe had his head down in the locker room because he was depressed or pouting. You know what I think? I think something's going on with his eye. I think that's why his head was down. Something weird is going on with that eye. Like something weird, like he got poked or gouged more than once. He's out there in pain, playing his ass off. So I'm not coming at Joe for poor body language. Guy's probably a little out of shape, first of all, after missing all that time. He's completely gassed. And I think somebody did try to gouge his eye out. So I'm going to forgive him for less than stellar body language. Hope the guy's all right. Because he better be all right if he plans to back up that promise that he just made. That's a huge guarantee to make after one of the all-time gag jobs.
We're going to win this series.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You know what he didn't do? He didn't get up in front of the media and say, they don't like me. The league doesn't like me. And then stomp off. He said, hey, we're good. We're going to still win this series. That's what I expect to hear from faces of the franchise. That's what I expect to hear from future Hall of Famers. That's what I expect to hear from alphas. Even if it's not going to happen, sit up there and say, we're good. We're good. Yeah, we're going to win this series. We're still going to win this series.
We're going to win this series.
Hey, listen, I've got to tell you guys about this. So the other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. A product that I now carry around. It's something different for fresh breath. It's this amazing product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is an absolute game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. If it's not, they won't hear what you're selling or saying anyway. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't. Because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. Clinically tested against the toughest offenders like garlic and onions even. You just pop 2 or 3 in your mouth. You suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. This product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth and then it goes down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. It's that strong. You're going to love having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath or your money back. That's right, or your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you'll want it, but they will. They have free shipping if you order three packs or more. And trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping, right? So go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com right now. Do it now and you'll get 15% off when you use my promo code ROME. That's Zelmins.com. But you have to use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, to get your 15% savings. Do it. Do it right now. He is Joe Varden. Joe, great to have you on the program. Joe, how are you?
I'm great, man. It's great to be back.
Good to have you back, Joe. Appreciate it so much. So the Nuggets snatched the Lakers' souls yet again last night. They came back from 20 down in the second half to wreck them. I mean, was that an unbelievable comeback by the Nuggets or a catastrophic meltdown by the Lakers, who just blew another double-digit lead? How do you see that game, Joe?
This reminds me of Game 1 of the 2018 Finals. It was at Oracle in Oakland. The Cavs were huge underdogs and came out in Game 1 just firing. LeBron was unreal. I think he had like 51. And they had him. They had Golden State. And if something was going to happen in the series, it was going to be impacted by that game. But this is the game where JR forgot to score. Nobody called timeout. They didn't take the last shot and went into overtime. They lost. LeBron came into the locker room, punched the wall, broke his hand, kept playing but wasn't the same, and they got swept. And so you think about this, what's going on in between the Nuggets and the Lakers and the history, like 10 in a row or whatever it was, and to have that team down 20, playing the way that everybody was, you know, LeBron, AD were playing, and to lose it like that, it's hard to imagine a team getting off the mat in Game 3 or 4, being down 2-0 the way that they're down 2-0.
No doubt. Joe Varden joining us. So if that's the way it goes, Joe, whenever the series ends, what changes would you anticipate the Lakers making to try to get the most out of LeBron's remaining years?
You know, they have a – I mean, I say this, Jim, like they have a good track record when it comes to LeBron, you know? Like they've tried a bunch of stuff. Like they went and got AD. You know, they've changed coaches a number of times. The Russell Westbrook trade didn't work, but then all the deals that they made last February did work. You know, they got to the conference finals. So, you know, they are going to take a big swing is what we hear. Like they're targeting maybe Trae Young or Murray, you know, in Atlanta. Donovan Mitchell here in Cleveland is a name that comes up as a trade target. Whether it happens is another matter. But they want to get that one. They want to take that one more run. You know, they know LeBron's at the end. They know even Anthony Davis is getting older. So you need that dynamic third player. And you know, again, the Lakers have shown us that they are willing to try this with LeBron on their team.
Joe Varden joining us once again. So Joe, what about the Knicks? They also stabbed the 76ers in the heart. They go on that 8-0 run in the final 27 seconds in that wild comeback win. Would you make the same argument about Philadelphia that if you're going to lose that game the way they lost that game, granted they haven't lost 10 in a row to the Knicks, but do you see them? Because Joel afterwards said, we're good, and he guaranteed they'd come back and win the series. Can you make any argument for Philadelphia at this point?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Especially if Joel is going to look more like he did last night and then play even better, I guess. You know, I mean, they say in the playoffs, it's a cliche. I don't know if I believe it all the time, but they say, you know, the series doesn't really start until somebody picks up a win on the other team's floor. So, you know, the series shifts to Philadelphia. Coming into the tournament, the Sixers were by far the hottest team. Joel was playing well. They were playing well, you know, then he tweaks his knee, a couple things happen. But yeah, like they are close, and that, you know, if Joel is okay, they certainly have a chance to get back in the series. Nick Nurse is awesome. One of the best coaches in the league, I think. You know, I think the gnashing of teeth over the officiating will get the refs' attention. It always does, you know, fair or not. And so I think you'll see a little bit different tone in Game 3. You know, Jim, it's a fun story, too. Last night, I'm in Cleveland for the first round covering the Cavs and Magic. And the Cavs beat the Magic again last night, but they didn't open the doors for the locker room to let us in. And we were wondering why. And then it dawned on some of us, like, oh, they're watching the end of this game. And through the walls, we could hear the Cavs react as a team when DiVincenzo hit that last three. It was unbelievable how loud the reaction. So you can just imagine that all throughout the NBA, just shock over the way that game ended.
Nice job, Joe. I love that. That's a great anecdote. A great anecdote. So I was going to say next that you are in Cleveland and you're covering the Cavaliers and their second straight win over the Magic last night. You know, I really expected more than what I've seen from Orlando thus far. Nothing against Cleveland. But what's been your biggest takeaways from that series so far?
Yeah. So the Cavs really aren't playing well, and they are in total command of the series. And to your point about the Magic, like, you know, I had seen them a couple times throughout the year. I really like their young team. I like the direction. And I knew that they were in the bottom third of the league in offense. But when you get into this series and see them as a group, and the inability to make a three-point shot in today's game, is, I mean, obviously it's a deal breaker. And I think back to, you know, Franz Wagner, who is one of their most dynamic players, and he carried Germany to the FIBA World Cup. And I bring it up because I covered that, and then I saw him every step of the way. I saw him against the U.S. I saw him beat Serbia in the finals. And he was one of the best players in the tournament. And they need, the Magic need him to do that in this series, and he has been unable really, to shake free from Max Strus. Strus is here from Miami. He brings that Heat culture. He brings that sort of, like, toughness, yeah, don't talk to me about the first round kind of attitude that is lacking on an otherwise young team in Cleveland. And Strus isn't, like, jumping off the stat sheet with his threes or anything like that, but he is locking up Wagner, making it really tough on him. And the Magic just don't have an answer right now. Jared Allen has made Isaac virtually unplayable in the middle. Suggs hurt his knee last night. I thought he was done for months. And, of course, he's so tough he comes out and plays in the second half with the sleeve over his leg. But the Magic are in trouble right now. And, like, you know, obviously there'll be some adjustments, probably some lineup changes, but it's hard to imagine what it could be that would get them back into the series if they're not going to make shots.
You know, it's hard to dispute that. I agree. I thought they would do better. I thought they'd be in a better spot, but you're right. If you're not knocking in three, you've got no shot. And if you're not making shots at all, you really have no shot, obviously. Joe Varden joining us. Hey, Joe, what do you make of Indy and Milwaukee? For instance, Indy won 4 of 5 in the regular season with Milwaukee, and the Bucks were without Giannis. Dame supposedly was so unhappy. A little unusual to see Dame go off the way he did in the first half, given he was so unhappy. But what about the Pacers, man? I mean, what do you make of the way they showed up? And then how different a Pacers squad are you expecting to see tonight?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think for survival purposes, we need to see a much more focused, tougher Pacers team that pays far greater attention to detail. But this is the thing about the playoffs, and if you're around the playoffs a lot, it becomes a cliche. It's almost like second hat. But if you just casually watch, then maybe you don't realize the difference, not in the intensity. Like, yeah, of course, the playoffs are more intense, but it is the attention to detail. One time, Steven Adams was telling me, like, he had just joined the Grizzlies, and he was talking to me about what he can bring to that Grizzlies team that had been to the playoffs before but was so young that it didn't go well. And he's talking about literally it comes down to the inch when you're trying to set a screen or how you get around the screen or how you close out on a three. And those are the things that you just don't know until you've been there. And so when you look at the Pacers and you're wondering how did they get blitzed by this team that they handled all year long, I think more than anything that happened in the regular season, it comes down to a very young group collectively that doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. Like, I know Siakam's there. I know he's been there. He's had deep playoff runs. But outside of Siakam, it's a young group, and Halliburton's very young, and on down the line. And you don't know about how precise you have to be in these pressure situations until you've gone through it. So is one game enough of a reality check for the younger players to catch up? I suppose we'll see. But for all the knocking we do on Doc Rivers, he's got a ton of playoff experience. I know Rick Carlisle does too, but But Doc's team is a veteran team with champions, and the Pacers largely are not that.
Hmm. Joe Varin joining us. Joe, before you go, you wrote a really interesting piece, I thought, for The Athletic about how injury concerns could impact Team USA at the Paris Olympics. For instance, if Kawhi Leonard and Joel can't go, how would USA basketball go about filling those roster spots when most NBA players will be on vacation and getting that much coveted, much needed downtime with their families?
That's a great question, Jim, and it is especially so because of how this unfolded. Almost because, you know, if you go back to September and you think about, there's a story that Shams and I did sort of announcing that LeBron and Steph and KD were interested, but right away you had like six or seven, no doubt, hands down, forget about it, Hall of Famers that said, I want to play for Team USA, to the point where it was like the USA basketball people had to say, okay, this is great, but we need to do something to engage the younger players in the event something happens to these guys who say they want to play, that we can still fill out our roster with the best possible talent. So they put out this pool of 41 players. And so now everybody on that list is a candidate, a known public candidate to be on Team USA. So we get to last week, and the team gets announced, and there's really no surprises on it. Those names had been reported by us and a few others for months. And so the players who were under consideration that had to find out that they're not going to be on Team USA, now not only do they make separate plans, but some of them may have hurt feelings. Now, there certainly is a sense of, like, service to country, you know, playing for USA, like pride, and then the allure of Paris. I get all that. That could trump some of these hard feelings. But I can tell you there are some hard feelings with some of the players on that list that didn't make it. So, you know, the juggling act of replacing a player like Joel, if they have to, or Kawhi, if they have to, is going to be, you know, whose ego is still in check, whose plans are breakable. There are players on that list that didn't make it who are going to get married now this summer. Can they switch that around if they get the call? You know, so There's a number of different ways this could go, including in 2021. You know, we had training camp in Tokyo or in Las Vegas, and Bradley Beal and Kevin Love were on the team. Well, neither of those players were able to break camp and go to Tokyo, and so one player came from the select team. So that's the group of younger NBA guys who come to Vegas to practice against Team USA. That was Keldon Johnson, and then they just called JaVale McGee off the street. You know, he wasn't in a big pool. He wasn't in training camp. They called him and asked him to play. He was in great shape, and he was able to come and play a small role. So, you know, if they have to go that route, Jim, there's definitely a scenario where instead of filling it with another superstar, now they look the role player route. This is the first team, probably since the Dream Team, that does not have a role player. These are 12 superstars on this team.
Hey, Joe, I love JaVale McGee. I'd ask him again. I'd give him a lifetime exemption. I don't even care how old he is. I'd let that guy play at 80. I love JaVale McGee. Joe Varin is a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. He's also a contributor to the Athletic NBA Show podcast. Hey, Joe, it's always great to have you on the show. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again soon, Joe. Appreciate it. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Let's go to Indiana. This guy's on topic. I like it. Greg in Indiana. Great to have you on the show. Greg, how are you?
I am doing absolutely wonderful.
Great. I like that. What's up?
I am absolutely happy to talk to you, Jim Rome from California. I have talked you up my whole UPS career to all my friends, and I am an avid sports fan. Love your show, and I was listening to it out in my garage, sprayed my yard, rained a little bit here today, just a good hangout day in my retirement going on my third year. The Aaron Boone, New York Yankees, and I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan through and through. Love what's going on with De La Cruz. Just went down Friday, watched him hit his home run. Me and my girl, who I met on Twitter, everything going absolutely in love. Great. What happened to Aaron Boone? That's wrong, man. Dude, that stuff's ruining baseball. That's all I got to say, man. I love your show. Love the clones. Love all the fodder. Tell me, what does war mean? What does WAR mean?
I'll tell you about that, my brother. Dude, you're great. Greg in Indiana, rack him. All right, a few things, Greg. First of all, dude, I appreciate you very much. I appreciate you very much. I appreciate the years you put in as a UPS driver. We have a lot of UPS drivers. Well, actually, there are the wars. I don't want to pick one over the other. UPS, FedEx, Amazon. I know a lot of guys and gals in trucks are rocking the show because they've told me for years and years and years and years. USPS. So I'm not going to pick one over the other, but he just mentioned UPS. So thank you very much. Good looking out. I know that a lot of you take us with you on the road. So he covered a lot of ground now. He turned a lot of people on to the program. Thank you. He's in his third year of retirement and loving it. Appreciate that. Big time Reds fan. Went down and saw De La Cruz. How could you not? He's a freak show. He met his gal on, quote, Twitter, which is now X. That's amazing. Love that. What a great love story that is, Greg. So he nailed it all. He had everything except he wanted to know what war is. That's kind of funny. So when we war things, it's all, of course, because of Auburn's rallying cry, War Eagle. I can't remember where it was, but way, 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 way back in the day, we might have been at the SEC tourney, or I don't know where we were, but we were in a hotel filled with Auburn fans. This was in the early days of the show. And the way they were all communicating was War Eagle. War Eagle. Not even like, yo, what's up? How you doing? How you feeling? How was your night? The salutation for everything was War Eagle, the rallying cry. But then I noticed also it wasn't just War Eagle. Sometimes it was like in the form of a question, like War Eagle? Or sometimes it was like, you know, for lack of a better phrase, like you're damn right, like War Eagle. So when they were warring Eagle in the early days of the program, we started to war anything, and the clones did this too, warred anything they were in support of. You know, war, insert, something. So it went from War Eagle, we ripped that from Auburn, to war something that you wanted to happen. War something you were in favor of. War somebody who did something really stupid. You could war anything at all. Anything and everything works, depending on your point of view. But that's where that came from. You know, like in this case, Greg, you could have done it yourself. War Aaron Boone getting the respect that he deserves. Or war the ump show and then turning that thing on its head into some kind of insult about the ump show. War Aaron Boone lighting up Hunter Wennerstadt. Anyway, you can war anything. Like, for instance, my brother, war that call. War you, bro. Brother. War you meeting your gal on X. War you being the third year of retirement. War your life being awesome and wonderful. War you going to a Reds game and seeing your freak show shortstop. War life, man. War me. War the jungle. War the clones. War the JXP. War the XR4TI. War free grub. What you don't want to war, though, is LeBag blaming the replay center. Nobody's going to war that because nobody's in favor of that. Unwar. So then you just drop an unwar on that. We good? Unwar AD saying, the league doesn't like me.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
War these dudes who obviously love AD. You know, the funny thing about AD was, you know why those guys were doing that? Because years ago when he came into the league especially, everybody did like him. Like, he was really inherently very likable. Good dude. Good dude, good vibe. Remember when he was at Kentucky? Man, people loved him. And now look at him. The league doesn't like me? Like, the league has it in for me? I'll say it again, bro. I only to a certain extent do I believe in karma. Now, I believe in jungle karma. But in terms of, like, universal karma, if you're in the middle of a series and you've already blown one game and you have to have the next game, that is not the time to complain about not being in the running for an individual award. Unward that, dude. He is V in the fee. V, I guess I'd ask how you living, but I already know. What's up, dude?
Yo, my friend Jack Daniels, Jose Cuervo, Rome Dello, none of it worked, dude. I am sick to my freaking stomach. And you would have thought the way the game was going that these guys heard my call yesterday during shoot-around. I mean, I told D'Lo to step up, and my guy's three balls were wetter than Alvy's bed sheets. I told LeBald, you can't vanish in the fourth. He did it. He was incredible. AD was unstoppable until the fourth. I mean, everybody heard my call except for one idiot, good old Diarrhea Darv. I mean, where do I start with this moron? Dude leaves two timeouts on the table just like he leaves his hands in the pocket the whole time, not challenging any of these questionable calls that murdered us. Or how about having zero offensive sets in the fourth quarter? You couldn't get the ball to AD once? I mean, in the paint? One-on-one with Jokic? Nothing? It was pure iso ball with the ball. And then, you know, when I think the damage is done, I think the diarrhea has ceased, Ham gets in front of the mic and spits out some more Darvaria.
He says, there were some tough calls, but it can't be an excuse. But, you know, it is tricky when the game is officiated different in the season than the playoffs.
What? My man, you say that, and then LeCap, D'Lo, and AD are all crying and blaming a foul that happened in the third quarter. The third quarter! We were still up 10! How about blaming the offensive rebounds that I just got? How about blaming leaving Michael Porter Jr. open all game? How about blaming that you had no adjustments in the second half? You are Mike Malone's bitch right now, Darvin Ham, and it makes me sick. And it's hard because I can speak for Laker fans like LeBron. When you go out on the mic and say BS like that, like, we want to root for you, dog. We're trying to root for you. But you look like a little bitch when you go out and say stuff like that. I can't believe they're blaming the refs, dude. It's incredible. That's the last thing they should blame. I mean, forget Jungle Caramel, Jim. I need Jungle Life Support, my brother. I'm not going to run away from my pick. I'm sticking Lakers in six, but one of you guys, please, hold yourself accountable. Man, seeing the feet out.
Dude, I got to be honest. I was hoping that call would not end. Let's go to Green Bay. Matt, good to have you. What's going on, Matt? How are you?
Hey, Rob. How you? I'm doing great, man. I tell you what, that was a great call, and I'm sorry to say he's only got two more times to call in and just go off on a rant like that. That was epic. But what I want to say is you were talking about ownership. I'm glad that the Bulky had more ownership. Excuse me. In the middle of a presser than the Lakers do. It seems like, you know, he's willing to admit, hey, I just left some skid marks on the floor. But the Lakers, they get their ass handed to them. Up by 20, how do you lose that stuff? And then to blame the recall center, replay center? I mean, goodness gracious. Even Knicks has more accountability than they do. I'm out.
Good night now!